Hey everyone, welcome into the EuroLeague and Friends MVP podcast. I'm Olivia Harlan Decker. So glad you could join us. Happy holidays to all of you. And we're so excited to introduce someone who has finished 2025 on an incredible high. It's December's MVP, Kevin Punter. KP, thanks for joining us. Congratulations. How you doing?
I'm feeling good. Thank you. Appreciate you. Feeling good. All is well, you know, but yeah, you know, we continue to move on. That's it.
Okay, all business. I like it. Right off the top, as we're talking about New Year's and whatnot, do you have a resolution for 2026?
Nah, just to keep going as I was going, in all aspects. That's it.
I love it. I think if you continue to do that, you might even be MVP again in 2026 because
that's the goal. We'll see. That's the goal.
Let's take a look at your December, too. I got some numbers for you. You were the leading scorer in EuroLeague, over 24 points a game. You're also top five in PIR, plus minus, steals, minutes played. When you hear some of that said back to you, what are you most proud of? What kind of stat sticks out to you?
The stat of putting in the work every day that nobody don't see, that's the biggest thing that sticks out to me. So when you hear those numbers, you always just go back to what kind of work am I putting in every day? What kind of work am I bringing every day? So that's just kind of the stuff I think about.
Okay, I like that. It's hard to bring up your team's success in December without talking about the head coaching change. You turned a corner in November. You surged this last month. What's been the biggest difference since coach's arrival?
He came in with his, he came in confident. He came in with his philosophy, and we just bought in. We continued to stay together, and we had to really lock in and dial in with some things, and that's what we did.
Can you go into more detail about his philosophy and what that looks like on a day-to-day basis?
Yeah, just paying attention to more details on both ends of the court, and just bringing it every single day mentally. You know, we know it's a long season. Just always making sure your mental is right, your mental is here. Every day, you know, practice, the weight room, whatever the case is. So just making sure your mind is right and your mind is there with you every day.
Well, it's working. The proof is in the pudding. How about your offense in particular? The sample size isn't that big, but your attempts are up. How has he helped your offense? How's your role changed?
Just put me in position to be aggressive. I don't want to say my role has changed so much, but just putting me in position to be aggressive. My teammates putting me in position to, you know, just to constantly be aggressive and attack the defense.
All right, let's look at some of these great games in December. Maybe the biggest win was over Olympiacos. You scored 24 points in 25 minutes. What were your takeaways from that game?
It was a real important game for us.
Yep.
Olympiacos is a really, really good team. So for us, we wanted to really take care of our home court. It was close pretty much up until I think maybe the third, and we kind of went on that crazy run, and then we kind of pulled away, towards the end of the game. But that was it, though. I feel like it was a competitive game up until that point in which we created some cushion for ourselves, and then that was it.
It's hard to talk about this month, too, without getting to the Baskonia game. Your performance was historic in EuroLeague. 43 points. That's the fourth most ever scored in the modern EuroLeague history. But I know after the game in your post-game interview, you weren't even entirely sure it was three overtimes. Now that we're 2 weeks removed from that, how was that game sat with you?
It was crazy. In the moment, when it's so many overtimes, you just lose sometimes, at least for me, just lose track of what overtime is it again or what happened in what overtime, because still to this day, I forget what happened in what exact overtime, because it was three overtimes. I honestly forgot what kind of happened to go into overtime a little bit, I think. But whatever, we had so many games since then, it's like I tend to forget. But another game, I'm glad we was able to protect home court, glad we was able to win. And credit to that Baskonia team, because they're a tough team.
Yeah, those are two statement wins for sure for you guys. It's funny, 43 points is fourth most in EuroLeague, as I said, but how do you describe how tough it is to score in EuroLeague? When you look at the NBA, of course, Wilt Chamberlain has had 100 in an NBA game. How hard is it to score in EuroLeague?
It depends on who you are, to be honest with you. And then it depends on how you read the game. Obviously, with the spacing purposes and guys always sitting in the paint and double teams, it can be difficult. But if you got really good teammates, to help you open things up. That makes it easier. If you know how to pick your spots on the court, it makes it easier for your game. It just depends on the type of player you are. So that's really what I credit it to. I don't think it's difficult. I really just think it depends on the style of score you are.
Well, you certainly found your style scoring, especially in those three overtimes. You had 23 points, countless highlights. How do you find that gear shift when the moment matters more?
Just locking in mentally, just understanding all the work you put in, just understanding it's a long, long game. Your time is going to come at some point. And just staying and keeping your mind in the game, that's pretty much it. That's it, really. Just constantly keeping that aggressive mindset. That's it.
Well, you all also took a big hit in the third quarter of that game when you lost Will Clyburn. You were down nine still and a lot of basketball to be played. What was the message at that point in the game, and how do you guys pull that one off?
Oh man, keep chipping away. We was able to get some scores. I think I had got the 4-point play, and then I think we had got maybe a stop. I can't remember. And then I think Dario had got the unsportsmanlike, so he had got, I think, two free throws, ball back. So, I mean, we had some chances and we kept capitalizing on it. And then we was able to close the lead and end up tying it up. That was the second overtime, right? Yeah. So we was able to force it again to a third. So just continue to chip away, chip away, chip away.
Well, Marcus Howard had the shot to send it to overtime. He was 11 for 11 that night. I don't know if you remember that from
I did not
Baskonia.
know that. I didn't know that. I didn't know that. At that point, like when you see the stats and you hear it after the game, I didn't know that. In that point in time of the game, I did not know that.
Well, so I was curious, as Americans over here, he's from New Jersey, you're from New York. Was there some trash talk throughout the game as you were both red hot or after the game?
Nah, I didn't know he was from Jersey. And I don't talk when I play. I don't talk when I play.
Really?
I don't talk. Anybody that play against me, like I don't talk. If I'm talking, it's because somebody says something. I never talk during the game. I just be chilling. I'm trying to hoop until they take it there. Then I talk. But other than that, I'm chilling.
Can you think of a time, especially overseas, that you've lost it and maybe run your mouth a little?
Yeah, this past, yeah, I mean, not long. Well, yeah, this past season, last season.
All
yeah, that's it
I'm actually surprised that maybe you're not more of a talker. You're from the Bronx, so you grew up with this like chippy, gritty brand of basketball and on playground courts. So how have you honed that in? Like, how has that become a part of your basketball identity?
I mean, I still have that edge. I play with it, but I just don't talk. So I have that edge with my action and my mentality, but I don't really just run my mouth so much when I'm playing, or like, I mean, it's part of my personality too. But until you get me there, then it's, then I'm talking, then I'm, all of that. But other than that, I'm chilling.
What are some famous courts that you've played on growing up?
Tri-State, Dykeman, like every court you probably didn't heard of in New York, I didn't play it on it.
So with that, shaping who you are as a person too, because I mentioned gritty, but you've got to like earn your playing time. You've got
For
to
sure, for sure.
earn that run. So how has that made you maybe a little tougher now that you're on the overseas trail and going somewhere new all the time and playing these intense games?
I really just credit that to just my mentality. Just growing up how we grew up, I always had to just figure it out. I wasn't given nothing easy at all. I always had to figure everything out from the time I started with this game of basketball. So it kind of helped me to this part of my career, starting in Lavrio. Got to just figure it out, got to make a name for yourself. You got to perform each and every season to get some recognition, to, like, you got to perform over and over and over just to be seen. So I feel like that has helped me with my mentality. Well, like, basically growing up, I was already kind of built for that. You know what I'm saying? So it was difficult early in my career, but now, obviously it's a lot easier, but I was already kind of immune to it just coming over here in the first place. But yeah, it was still difficult. But growing up how I grew up, trying to get it. It's just my life.
I'm curious more about how you grew up. I've seen you talk about your dad's influence, and you had incredible work ethic, up early every day as a construction worker, and really shaped you. How did he help get you here?
He just core principles of my pops, just always just handling your business, work hard. If you want something, work hard, keep your grades right. I wasn't good at school at all, so he always used to preach, keep your grades right, work hard. If you want something, work hard at it, handle your business. So that was like his main message. Stay focused, stay locked in on whatever you want. It don't even got to be basketball, it could be anything. And then just watching him work every single morning, wake up 4 o'clock in the morning, 5 in the morning. I'm seeing that. You know what I'm saying? I'm saying he never complained, never, you know what I'm saying? Like, I'm sure he had tough days, hard days when he didn't feel like it, but just watching him, he don't even know. Like, just watching him, hearing him wake up to go work, you know what I'm saying? Every single morning, I feel like that kind of did something to me and my brother.
Have you told him that?
I don't know. Me and my pops don't be too emotional. We kind of keep it real, real solid, you know? But I haven't told him that. Maybe I should tell him that.
Maybe you should send him a link to this interview.
Yeah, maybe I should.
I'm curious too, your path, going to community college and then Tennessee and then over here. I mean, you mentioned you faced some adversity when your career started in 2016. Did you ever think you'd get here multiple time MVP of the month in EuroLeague?
No chance. I went. I didn't think I was going to play Europe.
Wow.
I thought I was, I didn't, I signed my first pro contract without a passport. And then I had to hurry up and get a passport my last week and a half home. So that's just to give you where my mind was at. I was all NBA, NBA. That was the only thing on my mind. That was the only thing being told to me because I had a legit shot. So I didn't really pay attention to much of European basketball until, you know, you get thrown into the fire. Mm-hmm. So, but yeah.
Now you have two passports.
It's crazy, right? I know. It's crazy how life works. It's crazy how life works. It's crazy.
Speaking of that, okay, so Serbia, Poland, Spain, I know I'm missing some, but as you look at all the countries that you've gotten to live in, play in, what stands out to you about life over here? And how do you, like, communicate that back to players back in the States?
The main thing I say is how you adapt. If you're not open to opening your mind up and adapting to whether it's the culture, the food, the people, you're going to struggle. Because I did that. I didn't open up to nobody and I struggled. But I feel like if you can open your mind up to this different way of living, obviously we're not used to it when you first come over here. But if you can open your mind up to that, I think it's going to make your process and your learning curve a lot smoother and easier. But you got to be open to wanting to come to Europe and trying to figure it out. The basketball part and off the court part. So,
yeah, it'll kind of, to use a term, separate the boys from the men your first couple years overseas.
Yeah, no, for sure. You definitely got to lock in. I always tell players your first 2 years is probably the most, those are the hardest years. But then you'll see the light after that.
I want to list some of the great coaches you've played for. I mentioned Tennessee, Rick Barnes, David Blatt at Olympiacos, Messina at Milan, Obradovic at Partizan, and now Pascual. What have you learned from some of these great, successful men in the sport?
Yeah, they all pay attention to details. Uh-huh. Details is extremely important with all of them. So that was able to take that from them, which for me, that's how I roll too. But yeah, attention to details is extremely important with all of those coaches.
At which stop do you feel like you've made the biggest jump in your career?
It's hard to say that. I got asked that question before, but it is hard to say that because I was always at different points in my life and in my basketball life from the start of my career to now. So it's different stepping stones and different teams I play for that kind of helped me get to the next team or the next part of my life or that has helped me so much, you know what I'm saying? So it's really hard to just pinpoint one team. Like, for example, I'll give you, like, when I played for Olympiacos, it was probably one of my worst seasons in the EuroLeague. But I've learned so much during that time. So I'm grateful for that time I was there because I've learned so much about myself and I went through a lot there. So that was, to me, that was a real important season. Even though on the court wasn't good for me, but it was good for me in other areas, though.
That's interesting you bring that up. Of course, now it's the opposite. You're playing so well. You're getting so much recognition. The city loves you. The team loves you. Your coach loves you. He's singing your praises in interviews. I mean, how do you maybe keep steady then on the other side of things? How do you stay humble? How do you stay the course?
I don't know. I feel like I'm just a humble person. I don't really feed too much into the internet. I'll just say the internet. I don't really look for people to say good things about me or bad things. I just try to stay at even keel. And that's it. I just try to continue to just move forward every day, and just try to get better every day. I don't really try to read too much into people just praising me, because one moment they'll praise you, and the next moment they'll be tearing you down. So it's like, I don't really, it's great, obviously, but I just try to, stay at a, stay locked in, stay focused.
Well, it's tough to do that when you're playing the workload that you are. You're playing over 30 minutes a game, only one of seven players. So, how do you maintain that level of physicality, but mentally too, to get up every night for that workload?
Just taking care of your body, first off. Make sure you sleep and eating, drinking the right way. And then mentally, just saying, I mean, you rather play 30 minutes or you rather play no minutes.
Right.
I mean, that's extreme for me, but that's just how I put it in my mind. Like, you cannot be playing, because
Yeah.
it's been a point in my career where I wasn't playing. So pick one. You can't complain about playing, and then you can't complain about not playing. So just pick one. So I'd rather play. So if that means you got to play a lot, you got to play a lot.
Okay, I like that. I hear a little bit of, it sounds like what you're saying, your dad kind of instilled in you in that answer even.
Yeah, he instilled everything in me for real. My dad and my mom, they instilled everything in me for real. Like, just it's how just the way I think, the way I go through life. It's really my pops and my mom.
That's awesome. I'm looking behind you just at this amazing venue, and I've been to games there. It's electric, but you've played in some amazing rivalries too. You're one of the few players who's played El Clasico, Greek Derby, Serbian Derby. Can you compare those three experiences?
Man.
Well, what's your favorite?
So Partizan Red Star is extremely intense.
Yes.
And even Pana and Olympiacos, those derbies are just more like intense, crazy, leave the kids at home type of derbies. Those are those derbies. Barca and Madrid, I feel like it's just more like I don't know, just more a fast pace. The players, maybe let's say, dictate the game more. Like, it's just like the style of play is a little different, So I think that's the biggest difference. Yeah, because everything else, just the intensity of the game is pretty much the same. It's a must win for both teams, so it's a lot at stake. But probably just the style of play is the difference.
No, it's electric. I kind of
Yeah.
mentioned earlier, how do you describe this to your American friends or other hoopers back in the States? I mean, do you use those games as like benchmarks to describe how crazy the atmosphere can be?
Sometimes, because I think that's extreme. It's not like that
Every
all
night.
the time.
Yeah.
But on a regular night, it's lit. It's, you know what I'm saying? It's good energy, it's intense, all of that. But I don't like to give them those derbies, because that's a particular type of game, you know what I'm saying? So, but a regular game is still better than most games. So, but if I want to go extreme, then I'll speak on the derbies.
Yeah. Well, let's look around the league a little bit too. Barcelona is not the only team to have made a coaching change. I'm curious if you have any thoughts on Obradovic and Partizan.
No, I don't got no thoughts on it.
No thoughts
I
on that
mean,
one?
nah,
All
I'm gonna just
right.
mind my business on that one.
That's, you warned me that you'd keep your mouth shut when you wanted
Yeah, I don't. I'm cool.
to.
Yeah.
What about other teams that are impressing you that you guys have faced maybe just this past month alone?
Neil's playing good. I mean, we didn't play them this month though. But Valencia, Valencia is a tough team. They're playing really, really good basketball right now.
How about toughest defender you faced this season?
I don't like those
You
questions.
don't?
I don't.
On a, more personal note, as you're spending your time in Barcelona and committed to playing here a couple more years, what is it about the city that you like so much?
I like the weather.
Yes.
Just the lifestyle. It reminds me of New York. Just like the taxis everywhere, the bikes, the buses. People just going to work is busy majority of the time, so it kind of reminds me of being home in that aspect.
Favorite restaurant in Barcelona?
Border for mail.
Oh, I haven't been there yet.
Yeah,
Where
need to
is
go there.
it?
How could I explain it? It's not far. I explain it to
All
you.
right.
It's
We just
not
found out
far.
we're kind of neighbors, so you can tell us.
Exactly. I got you. I got you.
What's your pregame ritual? Any music, podcasts?
Nah, I just got to sleep before the game.
Yeah.
That's it. I got to make sure I get my little nap.
Game day
That's it, though.
nap.
Yeah, for sure.
Okay, you've got this MVP trophy. We're gonna get it to you. It's gonna look like this. Where are you gonna put it in your apartment?
Don't know yet. I don't know. I'll probably put it next to my TV, maybe. I don't know. I don't know.
You
Oh,
gotta
I gotta
have
make
it
some
on
room for it.
display.
Yeah, I gotta make some room for it for sure.
When your teammates find out that you won this, are you gonna treat to dinner? Is that how this is gonna work?
They can't wait. They can't wait to say Pika Pika. They can't wait. They can't wait. I'm already getting ready for it for sure.
All
It's
right,
great.
KP. This is a much deserved reward and award. We're so excited that you were able to join us. We're loving watching your game, and congratulations again.
Of course, appreciate you. Thank you for having me. Thank you.
I hope you keep up the great style of play, everything in 2026. I hope health, happiness finds its way to you. And everyone who's watching, thank you so much. Make sure you subscribe, follow, like, comment, share everything so you never miss any of the great content we're doing over here at the EuroLeague. Thanks so much.